I'm Kelly Stedman of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talkers, serious hockey fans. My name is Michael Lermont, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt Frederick. The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is December 5th, and we're taking a look back at the week that was the NHL and the NWHL, and we're going to start off with Saturday, November 28th, the Washington Capitals at the Toronto Maple Leafs. The lineup for the Capitals was first line of Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, second line Marcus Johansson with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, third line of Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Andrei Burakovsky, with the fourth line consisting of Brooks Lake, Michael Latta, and Tom Wilson. The defensive pairings were Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby was your starter in net. In the first period, the Washington Capitals started quickly with a goal at 3:42 into the first period when Jason Chimera scored his seventh goal of the season, which was unassisted. But then at 6:13 into the game, Toronto scored when Peter Holland got his fourth of the season, assisted by Dion Phaneuf. After one period, the score was tied at one apiece. Toronto outshot the Washington Capitals 16-4, won 15 faceoffs to the Capitals 7. And outhit the Capitals 17-7. Neither team had a power play. The analysis for the first period is that it was a great quick start for the Caps by getting the early goal, but after that, the Caps were very sloppy. The Cats had 7 giveaways this period and were dominated by the Leafs in almost every category except on the scoreboard. The Caps need to get their legs under them and start playing smarter. Then, going into the second period, Washington got on the board at 4:06 into the second when Tom Wilson scored his first goal of the season, assisted by Matt Niskanen for his 10th assist and Michael Latta his second assist. Then immediately after, at 6:17, John Carlson was called for interference, which on the power play at 6:26, Leo Komarov scored his 8th goal of the season from Dion Phaneuf and James Van Riemsdyk. Then, immediately after, at 10:46, Nazem Kadri was called for high-sticking, which on that power play, the Washington Capitals scored at 11:08 when Marcus Johansson got his 5th goal of the season from Alex Ovechkin with his 10th assist and John Carlson his 14th. Then, Dion Phaneuf was called for interference at 12:15, which the Capitals capitalized on that power play, as well as at 13:26, Justin Williams scored his 7th goal of the season, assisted by Jason Chimera with his 7th assist and Nicholas Backstrom his 12th assist of the season. Then at 17:34, Morgan Rielly was called for hooking. At the end of the second period, the Washington Capitals were up 4-2. Shots were 20-15 in favor of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but in the period, the Capitals outshot the Maple Leafs 11-4. Faceoffs were 25-23 Toronto, hits were 27-17 Toronto, and on the power play, the Capitals were 2-for-3, where the Toronto Maple Leafs were 1-for-1. The analysis, this was a much better period for the Capitals. Once Wilson scored his goal, you could see the momentum start swinging their way. The Caps made their power plays count this period, and as a result, have a 4-2 lead going into the third period. Most importantly, also to note, Marcus Johansson scored his second goal in 2 straight games by doing tip-ins, just getting to the net, letting the puck hit him, and getting into the net. Those are the type of goals that the Capitals have been needing, and they're now finally getting them their way. And then in the third period, the only thing of note was at 10:08, Alex Ovechkin was called for cross-checking. So at the end, the Washington Capitals defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2. Shots were 34-23 in favor of Toronto. Face-offs were 31-29 in favor of Toronto. And Toronto outhit the Washington Capitals 44-29. On the power plays, the Capitals were 2-for-3, and the Toronto Maple Leafs were 1-for-2. This was a good, gritty third period for the Caps. They grinded it out and killed the clock in the Leafs zone, and when the Leafs did get shots on goal, they kept them primarily to the outside with little traffic in front of Braden Holtby. This was a good, solid win for the Capitals. Sure, the start in the first period was not the best that they wanted, but they were able to recover and win the game for them. And with that, we are going to go to break, and when we come back, we will be doing the NWHL report. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk. I'm Michael Lindebaum, and this is Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fans, and it is now time for the NWHL Report, which is brought to you by DerpyCon. DerpyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Carl Struken, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerpyCon.com. And this past weekend, you had the Connecticut Whale at the Boston Pride. Just like the week before in their 7-6 shootout victory, the Whale jumped out of the gate quickly, scoring two first-period goals and the first four of the game. Then they nearly let it slip away. Cheyenne D'Arcangelo scored the fastest goal in NWHL history just 30 seconds into the game, and then tally again midway through the game to make the game 3-0. Boston would start to chip away at the deficit as time expired in the second on a goal by Rachel Lanes. The Pride would add two more on the power play by goals by Amanda Pelkey and Casey Bellamy. Boston would also outshoot the Whale 42-19, and Jamie Leonoff made 39 saves, including a penalty shot block on Lanes for the 4-3 win for the Connecticut Whale, who now go undefeated 6-0. Then next up, you had the Buffalo Buttes at the New York Riveters, where history was made as the Buffalo Buttes won their first game in franchise history thanks to two third-period goals from Devin Skeets and 27 saves by Breanne McLaughlin. After a scoreless first, the Riveters took a 1-0 lead 14:32 into the second on a goal by Madison Packer. Skeets then netted a pair within a 5-minute stretch during the final period, including the game winner at the 12-minute mark. Haley Brown added an empty netter to cap the scoring. Despite taking six penalties, New York outshot Buffalo 36-28, and Nana Fujimoto left the game in the third period after a collision was replaced by Jenny Scrivens. Then on December 1st, I'm still in November apparently, NWHL Player of the Week announced. The National Women's Hockey League announced that Buffalo Buttes forward Devin Skeets has been named the Player of the Week. With Buffalo trailing 1-0 entering the third in New York, Skeets scored twice during a 5-minute span, including the game winner at the 12-minute mark. She also had six shots on goal throughout the game. And joining me now from the Buffalo Buttes forward Devin Skeets. Devin, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. How are you this weekend?
Great. Thank you for having me on.
Now, this past weekend, you ladies won your first game of the season and in franchise history. What was that moment like for all of you in that locker room after the game?
It was pretty incredible. I mean, we really wanted that win for quite some time now. We definitely deserve it. So it was great to finally get that on our score sheet. And all the ladies are definitely happy about it.
And I mentioned this last week when I had Kelly on the show. You had spent the beginning part of the season all at home at the Harbor Center. Now you're on a road trip for last week and going for the next few games. What was it like going from being all at home, losing all the games that you did, and then going on the road, first game on the road, winning the game?
The change might have been good for us. You know, we were kind of stuck in that little bit of a slump at home, unfortunately, out of all places. But I think going on the road, all of us girls are especially playing in school and stuff. So it was a good change, and I think it helped us. And we were we finally could win. Unfortunately, it was on the road, not our home barn, but we'll take it anyway.
Now, obviously with road games, there is a different vibe to games because you're not at home. What did you ladies utilize being in New York to your advantage while you're on the road?
I don't think we took anything in advantage. We just, you know, just kind of stuck and played with our game. We don't really let the crowd really play a factor in our game when we're away. I mean, it was our first game, but I think in Buffalo, we have like the best fans. So they were definitely weren't nearly as loud as our fans at home. So it didn't really have a factor in us.
Okay. And now, going to your two goals, how does it feel to know that, you know, you were able to score within that 5-minute span and essentially lead your team to victory? What's it like for you and for everyone else in that locker room to go, okay, somebody was able to step up, knock in those two goals, the game winner, and then, you know, now we have this win. What momentum does that bring for not just you, but for the entire team?
I think the win was good. I think it almost, honestly, like, our team is extremely talented and hardworking, and we deserve that win. We deserve wins the past two games that we played. But we're just going to keep that momentum going, and I honestly think we just opened the floodgates. And hopefully we'll just keep the ball rolling on these wins.
Now, coming up this weekend, you actually have two games. You have a game on Saturday in Boston, and then you have a game on Sunday in Connecticut. What is the mindset for you and the team going into this weekend?
Well, honestly, like, just stick with our game plan. Like, we played amazing last game. We played amazing the past three games. So I think we're just going to stick to what we do best, and we're just going to work hard, get the puck to the net, use our body, and take control of the game. So
now, is there this is the first time in this entire season that two teams will actually have games on back-to-back nights. What is how does that factor into things? Is there a certain mindset that you want to go into for obviously you have your game plan set up.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a certain thing that you go, okay, we got this game this day, and then we got this game the next day? How do you plan, like, after your games? Like, what are you planning on doing that's maybe a little bit different to get yourself rested up for that next game and ready to go, but yet not jeopardize going into that first game either?
Well, I think the good thing about where all of us have played in college the past 4 years ago or whatever, and we'd always have two games in a row. So we all kind of have past histories of knowing what it's like to play two hard-fought battles days a day apart, less than a day apart. So there's not really anything that's new to us there. I mean, obviously, we've only been playing one game a weekend, but I think a lot of us are actually excited to be able to play two in one weekend. So we're all very fit girls. I think we can manage the two games in a row.
Now, I asked this to Kelly last week because Emily Felzer, your teammate, is going to be captain for one of the All-Star teams in the All-Star game. Kelly says she hasn't started politicking yet, but now that you're Player of the Week as well, just like Kelly has, is there any politicking going, hey, you should pick me to be on your All-Star team?
No, I don't know if I would ever ask her to choose me. I think that's a pretty hard, you know, job for her to be able to have to pick between so many such great talented women hockey players. But no, I wouldn't necessarily vouch for myself to go in there. It's a hard team to pick. So I wouldn't be very offended if I didn't get picked. That's for just put that out there.
Now, looking at the standings right now, Connecticut's at the top. You take on Connecticut this Sunday. What is your thoughts on the team right now? Because right now they're 6-0, they're 12 points top of the league. They have a +10 goal differential. What are your thoughts on them going into the game with them this weekend?
My thoughts is that the Buffalo can completely beat that team. Like, the fact that we played them two times in a row and the ending of them both times were such kind of like we had a shootout loss and then a fluke goal in like the last minute, less than the last minute of the game. I think the fact that we came back from a 5-1 deficit, 5-goal deficit, and drove them to coming to a shootout, I think all the momentum's on our side. We have the most confidence. We know them. We know how to score on them. I don't think there's a doubt in my mind that Buffalo can't beat them. You know, they've just had the hockey gods pretty much on their side, and hopefully they'll come on our side for a bit when we play them. But I'm not too worried.
Now you mentioned the 7-6 shootout loss. Now that game was a big game. That game alone, what was that like a turning point for your team, that coming back from 5 goals down? And obviously you won, but how much of that carried over into your game against the Riveters?
Oh man, that game was a huge character builder on our team's part. I don't know if any other team could have came back in this league the way we did. We fought real hard. We didn't give up. You know, it was an incredible game to be a part of and to get back. I mean, obviously the ending wasn't on our side, but the fact that we were able to come back like that speaks volumes about the character on the team and the willpower and the hunger to win. So it was a good learning experience for our team and team building for sure.
And with that, Devin, I'd like to thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And next up, we got the standings. As I mentioned, the Connecticut Whale are first place at 6-0 with 12 points and a plus 10 goal differential, followed by the Boston Pride at 3-3-0 with 6 points and a plus 8 goal differential. Then in third place is the New York Riveters at 2-4-0 with 4 points with a negative 11 goal differential. And at fourth, the Buffalo Buttes at 1-4-1. With 3 points and a negative 7 goal differential. On tap in the NWHL on Saturday, December 5th, you have the Buffalo Buttes at the Boston Pride at 7:30 p.m. Then on Sunday, December 6th, you have the New York Riveters at the Boston Pride at 3:30 p.m. and the Buffalo Buttes at the Connecticut Whale at 4:30 p.m. And now before we wrap this up, I just want to say thank you to DerpyCon for being the sponsor for the NWHL report, which is obviously this current weekend, December 4th through 6th. And starting next week, I would like to proudly announce that AwesomeCon will become the new sponsor of the NWHL Report. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And for more information on the National Women's Hockey League, visit them today at nwhl.co or on Twitter at nwhl_. And until then, we'll be back from the break. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by DerpyCon. DerpyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit derpycon.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. And now we're looking at the Washington Capitals game on December 3rd against the Montreal Canadiens. The lineup for the Washington Capitals was first line of Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie, second line of Johansson, Kuznetsov, and Williams, with the third line being Chimera with Beagle and Burakovsky, and the fourth line being Brooks-Like with Michael Latta and Tom Wilson. The defensive pairings were Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby as the starter. In the first period, Tom Wilson scored his second goal of the season, assisted by Brooks Like with his third at 2:26 into the game, and then at 4:37, Matt Niskanen was called for holding. At the end of the first, the Capitals were up 1-0. Shots were 10-6 in favor of Montreal, faceoffs were 10-5 in favor of Montreal, and the Washington Capitals outhit Montreal 8-5. Capitals had no power plays, and the Montreal Canadiens were 0-1. Overall, this was a good first period for the Caps. While the Canadiens played a strong first, the Caps weathered the storm very well and were able to go into the intermission up 1-0 on Tom Wilson's goal. You can also see great things happen for the Caps as they killed off the penalty and blocked 15 overall shots in the first period. Then going into the second period, Taylor Chorney was called for delay of game at 10:06, which Then Lars Eller scored his seventh goal of the season, assisted by Alex Galchenyuk and Tomas Plekanec at 12:08. Then Alexei Emelin was called for hooking at 12:25. TJ Oshie then scored his seventh of the season, assisted by Nicholas Backstrom with his 13th and Matt Niskanen with his 11th assist of the season at 19:16. Going into the second intermission, Washington was up 2-1. Shots were 27-13 in favor of Montreal. Faceoffs were 26-15 in favor of Montreal. Hits were 16-14 in favor of the Caps. The Caps were 0-1 on the power play, and the Canadiens were 0-2. This was not a great second period for the Caps. The Canadiens dictated the entire period and outshot the Capitals 17-7 in the second period. Braden Holtby was very solid and made some very tough saves to keep the Capitals in the game. Then going into the third period, Max Pacioretty was called for hooking at 2 minutes into the period. Then while shorthanded, 30 seconds later at 2:30, Brian Flynn scored his third goal of the season, assisted by Paul Byron and Jeff Petrie. Then TJ Oshie scored his eighth goal of the season from Carl Alzner with his sixth assist and Alex Ovechkin with his 11th assist at 8:17. Then John Carlson was called for holding at 9:07, and then Dale Weiss was called for slashing at 18:07. At the end of the game, the Washington Capitals won 3-2. Montreal outshot them 35-19. Faceoffs were 32-24, also in favor of Montreal. Hits were 24-21 in favor of Washington, and both teams were 0-3 on the power play. Did the Caps get the win over the number one ranked Montreal Canadiens? Yes, but they didn't deserve the win. Maybe. The Caps were outplayed the entire game by the Canadiens, and it was Braden Holtby who held down the fort for the Caps. TJ Oshie scored timely goals to give the Caps the lead and eventual game winner. Also, just a question. Tom Wilson has been playing really good hockey all season, and it is starting to show on the score sheet. So why is Wilson still on the fourth line playing fourth line minutes? I say the Caps need to bump him up the lineup and give him more playing time so he can continue to grow his game. Some of his goals, yes, he got a dirty goal against Montreal, but he also got a really nice goal the game before. So I believe it's time for Tom Wilson to start getting third line minutes and hopefully get built up to start playing second line minutes as well. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be doing NHL news and notes.
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans, and it is now time to do NHL news and notes. And on 11/28, the Columbus Blue Jackets forward Brandon Dubinsky has been suspended for one game without pay for cross-checking Pittsburgh Penguins forward Sidney Crosby in Columbus on Friday, November 27th, the NHL's Department of Player Safety announced. The incident occurred at 18:40 of the second period. Dubinsky was assessed with a 2-minute minor for cross-checking under the terms of the CBA, and based on his average annual salary, Dubinsky will forfeit $31,451.61. Also on November 28th, down 2-1, Marian Gaborik scored the game tying goal with 5:55 remaining in regulation and scored the overtime winner at 2:04 of the extra period as the Los Angeles Kings rallied past the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane scored in the first period to set the point streak record by an American-born player with a point in his 19th straight game. Also on November 28th, down 3-0 for 40 minutes, the Dallas Stars scored 3 consecutive goals in the third period, and Tyler Seguin scored at 3:57 of overtime as the Stars improved to 10-2-0 in their past 12 games. On November 30th, Montreal Canadiens goalie Carey Price will miss at least 6 weeks because of a lower body injury that will not require surgery, the Canadiens announced. Also on November 30th, the New York Rangers center Derek Stefan will be out of the lineup for 4-6 weeks because of 2 broken ribs. Both Carey Price and Derek Stefan I brought up on the last episode, as that was when the injuries were occurred. On November 30th, the NHL 3 Stars of the Week for week ending in November 29th. First star, Jamie Benn, left wing of the Dallas Stars. Benn shared the league lead in goals with 4 and points with 6 as the Stars won 2 of 3 games to continue their best start into a season in the franchise's 48-year history. Second star was Braden Holtby, goalie of the Washington Capitals. Holtby posted a 4-0-0 record with a 1.75 goals against average and a .945 save percentage, and one shutout to backstop the Capitals to the top of the Metropolitan Division standings. And third star of the week was Alex Galchenyuk of the Montreal Canadiens. Galchenyuk tied for first in the NHL with 4 goals and added 1 assist to help the Canadiens earn 5 of a possible 6 points to reclaim first place in the league standings. November 30th, the Columbus Blue Jackets have placed left winger Marcus Hannikainen on injury reserve. Club general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen announced Hannikainen is expected to be sidelined for 2 months after suffering a shoulder injury during their game on 11/28 at the St. Louis Blues. Also on November 30th, in his NHL debut, Toronto Maple Leafs goalie Garrett Sparks turned aside all 24 shots he faced to post a shutout and lead the Maple Leafs to a 3-0 victory against the Edmonton Oilers. Sparks became the first goalie in Maple Leafs history and is the 25th goalie in NHL history to post a shutout in his league debut. On December 1st, the NHL announced that Detroit Red Wings forward Dylan Larkin, who led all rookies with 7 goals in 13 games, has been named the NHL's Rookie of the Month for November. Also, December 1st, the NHL announced 3 stars of the month for November. First star, Patrick Kane, right winger of the Chicago Blackhawks. Kane led the NHL with 15 assists and 23 points, registering at least 1 point in all 13 November games to guide the Blackhawks to a 7-3-3 month, and third place in the Central Division. Second place was Braden Holtby, goalie of the Washington Capitals. Holtby went 9-2-0 with a 1.99 goals against average, a .927 save percentage, and one shutout to pace the NHL in wins and backstop the Capitals to a 9-3-1 month and second place in the Metropolitan Division. And third star of the month was Matt Duchene, center of the Colorado Avalanche. Duchene paced the NHL with 11 goals and ranked second with 20 points in 14 games to power the Avalanche to a 6-8-0 November. Also on December 1st, New York Rangers defenseman Kevin Klein will miss 2 to 3 weeks with a strained oblique muscle, according to coach Alain Vigneault. Klein was injured in the first period of the Rangers' 4-3 win against the Carolina Hurricanes on Monday. On December 1st, down 3 goals after 40 minutes, the Calgary Flames scored 3 times in the third period, including the game-tying goal by Dougie Hamilton with 2:48 remaining, and converted on all 3 shootout attempts to earn a 4-3 win against the Dallas Stars. And finally, on December 1st, Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane extended his career-high point streak to 20 games. Kane's point streak is the second longest in Blackhawks franchise history, 1 game behind Bobby Hall, who had a point in 21 consecutive games from December 5th, 1971 to January 23rd, 1972. On December 2nd, the NHL announced that Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Radko Gudas has been suspended for 3 games without pay for an illegal check to the head of Ottawa Senators forward Mika Zibanejad in Ottawa on Tuesday, December 1st. Under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary, Gudas will forfeit $15,994.62. On December 2nd, Drew Stafford scored twice to help the Winnipeg Jets defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-1 at MTS Center. The Jets, who were on a 3-8-1 slide, scored 6 unanswered goals to open a stretch of 5 of 7 games on home ice with a victory. On December 2nd, third-line forwards Matt Hendricks and Mark Letestu each had a goal and an assist to help the Edmonton Oilers begin a 5-game homestand with a 3-2 shootout win against the Boston Bruins. Jordan Eberle scored the lone goal in the shootout, and goalie Anders Nilsson made 38 saves through overtime to help end the Bruins' winning streak at 5 games. On December 3rd, Patrick Kane factored on all 3 Blackhawk goals to stretch his point streak to a career-high 21 games, equaling the longest stretch in franchise history and extending his record for the longest point streak by a U.S.-born player in NHL history. And on December 4th, per general manager Steve Yzerman, the Tampa Bay Lightning have signed head coach John Cooper to a multi-year contract extension. And also on December 4th, Johnny Gaudreau completed the hat trick at 3:20 of overtime after Yuri Hudler tied the game with 1.2 seconds left in regulation to lead the Flames to their 6th consecutive win at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And with that, that was our NHL news and notes. And as always, we are brought to you by the Tilt a Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilt a Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilt a Kilt Girls. For more on Tilt a Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And of course, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at Facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. Remember, there's no E at the beginning of experience. So Experience Hockey on Twitter and Experience Hockey Talk on Facebook. And until then, we'll see you on the ice.